We have two readings this morning. We're starting in Matthew 18 on page 985, and then we'll be going to Psalm 23. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly, I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. And from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the word of the Lord.
So it is my joy and privilege to be continuing the sermon series this morning on APEST, as Marion said, or the fivefold ministry, and we're going to be looking at pastors or shepherds. Ephesians 4 describes how Jesus gave gifts to the church to help build it up until he comes back. And I know the desire behind this sermon series is that each of us will discover the gifts that God has given us so that we can join in with building up the church, so that we can see the kingdom come and his will be done here in Salisbury as in heaven. Now, before I start, I want to kind of caveat a little bit of my sermon by saying I am not a pastor. In fact, I sit somewhere between more of the apostle-y, teacher-y style, and every time I do pastor on a quiz, it comes up the bottom. And to the extent that after I met with Matt and Matt said, great, you're going to do the sermon on being a pastor, I came home and I said to Rory, wonderful. But given my topic, and he said, what is it? To which I said, pastors. At which point he said, well, the problem is, Danny, you don't really like people. I'm not sure how you're going to do that one. And I was trying to come up with a defense to explain that I do like people. I'm not very good at small talk and all that kind of thing. But before I could manage to come up with my defense, he replied then to say, and to be honest, pastors are really nice, and you're not really nice. I'm like, thanks, hon. And he's the pastor, although you wouldn't believe that from that comment, would you? But And so to the extent that it reminded me this week as I was preparing, so last week I got to witness how Rory is a pastor and I'm not. So I was on the train to London with work. I was actually with Emily's husband, Dave, and we were on our way and we were focused in the zone for work, had loads to be getting on with, and I was like, great. And then something happened. And we're going to do a show of hands to see where you're at. Someone started talking to me. Now, hands up if you like people talking to you on the train. Okay, there's some friendly people, maybe a few pastors here. Hands up if you're one of those people that talk to people on the train. Okay, it's the same people. I see, there's a theme going on there. Well, I do not like people talking to me on the train because I am in the zone. I want to work, I want to focus, and these people were talking to me. Very irritated, managed to shut down the conversation quite quickly and carry on with the work. I got home from work that day, and I said, Rory, you'll never guess what happened, because it happened both directions. I think it was Dave. People don't normally talk to me, but people talked both directions. And Rory said to me, he said, well, Danny, did you think about the fact why they might be talking to you? Maybe they wanted to share something with you. Did you tell them about Jesus? Did you give them a word of encouragement? I was like, oh, shut up. Like, you're just so nice. You're just so nice. Why are you like that? But actually, for me, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think of people with a pastoral gift, I think they're just really nice. They're really friendly, they're really kind, and that's not always me. I had tea and sympathy in my head when I started preparing for the message this week, but as I've delivered it, I've kind of come to see that pastors have this warrior side that you don't expect. So look out for that as we're going through this morning. And it's given me a far better understanding, and maybe it will do for you the same. Maybe you already think you've already got that understanding, maybe it's just me that doesn't get it. But hopefully this morning we're going to help you see that pastors are not just tea and sympathy, actually they're warriors as well. So let's dive right into the psalm again. We're going to look at Psalms 23 is going to be the focus. So, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, sorry, pause a second. Have we got any shepherds here? Oh my goodness, we have a real life shepherdess. Only temporarily. Well, that kind of ruins my next point, but that's okay. That's all right. That's fine. So, okay, what about anyone? Did anyone grow up in a farm? Okay, a few more farmy people. Has anyone ever been to the lambing season where you get to feed a lamb with a bottle? Yeah, that's cute. That's quite nice. You get to do that with kids. My point was going to be that we're not particularly very agriculturally farmy people here. But we don't really get the kind of sometimes what the shepherd thing is because we don't really think about it. But actually, the exact opposite was true for the people of the times when the Bible was written. They lived in an agricultural society. And for the ancient Israelites that we read about in the Old Testament when David was writing the psalm, and also those in the New Testament with Jesus' time, farming and agriculture was life. They had a deep connection with the land. If the community didn't tend to the crops, they wouldn't eat. If there was a bad harvest, the whole tribe was impacted. And today, for many of us, I think really we've lost that connection with the land, with our food, with agriculture, and with nature. And the only real time I could think of when I personally, some of you a bit older might have experienced it, but the only time I could think of when I'd experienced this sense of, oh, there's been a bad harvest, was last year when there was the courgette famine. I don't know if you remember this, in supermarkets across the country, there was a gap everywhere where the courgettes would have been. And there was a complete travesty. People were going wild about the fact that there were not enough courgettes in the supermarket. But in real life, actually, a lot of the time, we don't even have to think about the land and where our food's coming from because we turn up and it's there in the supermarket. And both of the Bible readings we had today are full of farming and agricultural imagery. They talk about a shepherd. They talk about green pastures. They talk about sheep wandering to the hills. In fact, I think God's favorite animal might be sheep because as I was looking up, there's about 500 references throughout the Bible to sheep and shepherds more than any other animal. But the agricultural language is littered through the Bible because when the texts were written, that was what they understood. They didn't have the internet in their pocket. They didn't have Amazon Prime. They didn't have online shopping and electric cars. They lived simple lives that involved animals, that involved planting and harvesting crops, pressing grapes to make wine and breaking bread. And I just want to just pause and say, if you ever read the Bible sometimes and you think, gosh, the imagery and the language that it's saying, what does that mean? Because I can't really relate because I'm not a shepherd or I don't really understand all this language about going and baking bread or if I lose a sheep, what does that mean? I'd really encourage you to have a look into some of the context and history in which the Bible was written because it can help to give you a really rich understanding of the images and the metaphors that the Bible are talking about because the message of the Bible is just as irrelevant as it was then as it is now, but they just use different metaphors and different languages to look at it. So to give you an idea of where we're going, we are going to be focusing on Psalm 23 and thinking briefly about what this teaches about what shepherds or pastors are like. We don't often call our pastors shepherds, but the word pastor comes from a Latin word that actually means shepherd. And I have three main points today, which are about that a shepherd cares for their sheep, a shepherd guides their sheep, and a shepherd protects their sheep. Now, admittedly, we are going to be looking at each one of those three points from three different angles, which kind of makes 9 points, but I promise that we will get done and your roast will not be burnt. So we're going to keep it moving. But we're going to be, as I said, thinking about those 3 points from three different angles. We're going to be looking at it as God as shepherd. We're going to be thinking about it from those with a pastoral gift. And then we're going to think about the rest of us, those who are a little bit less pastoral and what that means for us. So let's get back to Psalm 23. God as shepherd. Now, this is a psalm that was written by David, who is describing his experience of what God is like. The interesting thing that I think whenever I read Psalm 23 is remembering the fact that David himself had been a shepherd Before he was a king and a psalmist and doing all those things, he used to keep his father's flocks on the hills. And in 1 Samuel, you kind of read the story of how David grew from being that shepherd boy on the hill to then leading Israel. And actually, he really knew firsthand what it meant to be a shepherd. And he then says, well, God is like a shepherd. And in the first 4 verses that Ali read for us this morning, we see 3 key points that a shepherd does, which David is saying that God is like. So firstly, he cares for us. The shepherd made the sheep lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside quiet waters. The land of Israel, where David was king, had been a shepherd, was a pretty dry land. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Israel, but there's a lot of rocky desert land around there. But a good shepherd, however, knew where to take the sheep to find fresh water, where to take the sheep to find green pastures so that they could rest. He took them took care of them. And that's what God as shepherd is like. He takes care of us. He gives his word to feed us. He gives his spirit to refresh us. And he's written rhythms and seasons of rest into the DNA, into the very fabric of creation. God is a shepherd, and he cares for us. Secondly, he guides us. The shepherd guides, it says in Psalm 23, the sheep along the right paths. As mentioned, Israel was a rocky and desert place with quite a mountainous terrain. And there would have been a lot of dangerous places to walk where if you went down the wrong path, you could have risked falling down the side of the mountain. A good shepherd would have carefully guided his sheep up the right paths so that they didn't fall off the side, so they didn't get lost, so they didn't get hurt. They would have known and followed his voice as a guide. And again, that is what God as shepherd is like. If we're willing to listen, he will guide us down the right paths, the paths of life. They're not always easy paths. They're often mountains and deserts. But actually, if we listen and follow his voice, he will lead us through. Now, this is the bit where we start to see the warrior shepherd, because that all still sounds quite nice to date. But God also, as shepherd, he protects us. The sheep fear no evil because he is there by their side with his rod and his staff to protect them. Again, we don't have rods and staffs in the 21st century. The most you normally get is a walking stick, maybe, or if you're going up some mountains. We don't really do rods and staff. Now, this is the best picture I could find on the internet of kind of what a rod and a staff would do. So a staff a shepherd would have in his one hand, and that would be there to fight off predators. Now, I think the predators in the Middle East were not so much bears and things like that, but more things like wolves that would come to try and eat the sheep. So the shepherd would use that staff to whack them out of the way. They're pretty tough. I was saying this to Charlie just earlier. He said, yeah, they're pretty rugged, weren't they? And I think they were. They would have had some muscles. They would have had some fight in them to bash off those wolves that would have come to try and have their midnight snack. But also, they had their rod, which would have helped if a sheep... Sheep are notorious for kind of wandering off and doing their own thing. The rod would have been there to rescue them, to pull them back if they'd gone the wrong direction. Maybe they were about to eat a plant that would have killed them, and the rod would have been used to pull them off from eating that. And actually, God as shepherd is similar. He protects us. He defends us. He rescues us, even if we ourselves wander off. And as Ali read in Matthew 18 this morning, he loves us all so much that he would leave the 99 to go after the one to rescue and save us. So that's God as shepherd. And that's what David was looking at in Psalm 23. That's what he was writing about. So if God as a shepherd cares for and guides and protects his flock, then I think that's a really good model of what those with a pastoral gifting are called to do in the body of Christ. Now, you might be thinking, well, for me, I feel like I've got a pastoral gifting, but I'm not the vicar or the pastor of the church. Is there still a role for me? Absolutely, I would say the pastoral gift isn't just for those who are church leaders. In fact, a church leader isn't always a pastor or have that kind of gifting. Actually, they may have a different gifting, but whoever you are, if you've got a pastoral gift, I believe you have a unique and valuable and vital role to play in the church. And in these 3 key ways. So those of you with a pastoral gift, you can care for others. You can show hospitality, practically supporting other people. Maybe those who are going through a hard time, providing a listening ear to those in crisis, encouraging others to rest when they're doing too much, looking out for the well-being of people in our community. Being a pastor often means long-term investment, helping people to work through their issues, following people up. Pastors often help people on the path to wholeness and healing. Now, it doesn't mean you have to know boundaries or you never say no to people. In fact, a good pastor will put up boundaries and so that they can know themselves and that they're able to then journey appropriately with people through all the seasons of life. Pastors also have a really vital role in making sure that new people into our community feel welcomed, feel loved, feel accepted and a part of the community. Social isolation and loneliness are absolutely plaguing our society. The world needs pastors out there to love, to welcome, to accept, to bring them into the family. Both inside and outside of the church, pastors have an incredible role in loving, caring for, and including people. That's what they help the church to do so beautifully. Secondly, they can guide others. You can guide others. This doesn't mean you have to have all the answers, but it does mean that you have to be willing to listen to God for people and with people, to hear what he might be saying to them, to that individual, to offer godly advice that helps people keep on the right path, to offer biblical counsel in the different circumstances that people might be facing. I know for many people with a pastoral gift, you might feel that that comes naturally, that you just feel like, unlike me, you know the right words to say at the right time to encourage someone, to build them up. But I'd also encourage you that these skills can be grown and enhanced. There's brilliant courses out there like counseling and listening skills that can help develop those skills in pastors and in each of us. The shepherd also helped to keep the flock moving. That's the other thing, in the guiding of them. They didn't just let them eat all the grass and then kind of leave them there. They kept them moving. And I think the pastors have a great and important role to play in helping people keep moving forward, to work through their issues and walk in what God has for them. Then thirdly, as a pastor, as someone with a pastoral gifting, you can protect other people. Again, this is where the warrior side comes in. A shepherd would have often sat up and kept watch while the sheep rested to ensure that no harm came to them. And I think those with a pastoral gifting have a real role to play in helping keep people keep watch, to discern whether or not there might be things taking place that might be damaging or hurtful to the people around them. You might want to challenge when people are gossiping or when people have a bad attitude, or you might want to be a peacemaker in situations of disunity. Pastors are also great at keeping an eye out for those who might be wandering off. A bit like the shepherd with his rod trying to bring people in love, that actually, if you haven't seen you for a couple of weeks in church, they might be in touch with you to say, hey, how's it going? Hope you're all right. We've really missed you. They're really good at following up and showing that generous love. And again, as our reading in Matthew 18 said this morning, a shepherd is willing to go to great lengths to protect the one, to find that one, to stop them wandering off. And when I was reading about the areas of society that you'd normally see pastors in, it didn't surprise me to see that you might see them in caregiving professions or around family, medicine, counseling and things like that. But it also, I found it really interesting that the other domains of society that you're likely to see pastors are in careers like the military, in the police, in defense. Because again, that's where that rugged warrior side of the pastor comes in. That they're there to protect, to stand up for the innocent, stand up for those who maybe can't stand up for themselves. Pastors often have a fierce sense of justice. And when they see something unjust, they're going to stand up and fight for it. They're going to stand up and say, hey, this is not okay. You've got to think about this. So there's that warrior streak in pastors that you don't expect, but oh boy, if you see that injustice, if they see that a threat to their flock, you better watch out. Think of people like Nelson Mandela or Malala Yousafzai, that actually they stood up against oppression. They stood up, they protected, they fought for people who were vulnerable. And that's the warrior side of a pastor that they have. So what about the rest of us? What about if, like me, you're not a pastor? Tea and sympathy and small talk and caring doesn't care. I do care. Caring doesn't come very naturally to you. Maybe that takes a lot more effort for you. Well, I think as we come into land, I think if you're like me and you're not a pastor, I think there's something that you can take away from this sermon. I believe that each of the five gifts that we're exploring through this fivefold ministry series displays something of the character and the nature of God. It shows us something of what God is like and what he wants for his church. Now, although it might not be your primary gifting, Jesus himself calls himself the Good Shepherd. And actually, if the goal of our discipleship is to become like Jesus, then there is something about Jesus as the Good Shepherd that we want to imitate, that we want to follow. So we can all care for others. We can be welcoming to new people in our community. We can, maybe on a Sunday, when you see someone who's here for the first time, who's on their own, and they want to go and chat to them. We can show hospitality to others, both inside and outside of the church. We can look out for one another's well-being. We can all guide one another. We can pray for one another. We can listen to God and point each other to the scriptures. If someone's having a bad time, why not offer to pray for them? Why not offer to sit with them and hear what God might be saying in their situation? And we can all protect each other. We can make the decision not to engage in gossip or to have a bad or bitter attitude towards others. We can stand up for others when we see injustice. We can take responsibility for looking out for one another. Maybe someone in your home group hasn't been around for a while. Why not give them a text, see how they're doing? You don't have to be a pastor to do that. So as we finish, and as I was preparing for this message this morning, it really made me see just how much the church needs each of these gifts that we're exploring over these weeks. Not just in leadership, but in the whole community. It needs each of us to be walking in the gifts that God has given us so that we can flourish as God intended and join the mission of God to the world. If we were all apostolic, maybe like my primary gifting, we'd constantly be seeking to break new ground, try new things, come up with new strategies, but we'd all be knackered because we wouldn't stop and rest. We need pastors, we need evangelists, we need prophets, teachers, we need apostles, we need all of us. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12, we're one body, many parts. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? The church needs each of us, and we need each other. Amen.